Today on Real Radio.
But Mary did not die on the cross like they have depicted in Rome. And Mary did not ascend into heaven. And the doctrine of co-redemptress, where Jesus and Mary pays for your sins, is rooted in ancient Babylonianism.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look at the New Testament letter known as 1 John. We're coming to the end of our series called Living in the Days of Deception. Days is spelled D-A-Z-E in this case. It's taken from the opening verses of chapter 4 in 1 John. Now, in this final presentation, Pastor Jack is pretty much guaranteed to be stepping on some toes because he's dealing with Babylon. Of course, there is ancient Babylon, but there's also modern Babylon, as we'll see in this lesson called The Roman Road to Babylon. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
If you were not a Christian, you died. How do you like that? That's horrible. But it was declared to be so, and many other things regarding Constantine were implemented. The papacy began, and it was known then as being the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church, the word Catholic, simply the universal church, okay? You believe, how many of you believe in Jesus Christ, died and rose again for your sins, died for you, and you love the Lord, and He loves you? You're Catholic. Did you know that? Well, you say, I'm not a Catholic. And that's not what I'm saying. It simply means the universal church. You've got brothers and sisters in China and in Japan and in Russia. They read the Bible and say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. That makes us a unified church in spirit. It's a great word. It's a great word. But listen carefully. Any church, this church, the Catholic Church, the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, any church whose leadership or hierarchy begins to dictate to the people what you must think, what you must act, what you must say, what you must do. Listen to what Jesus says about this. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Write these things that says, who holds the seven stars in his right hand. That's Jesus Christ, who walks in the midst of the seven churches, the seven lampstands. He says, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say that they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. And you have persevered and have patience and labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. That's great stuff. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you are fallen, repent and do your first works, or else I will come quickly and remove the lampstand from its place unless you repent. Verse 6, Revelation chapter 2. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Revelation 2:15 to the church at Pergamos, Jesus says, thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Nicolaitans are rulers, lords of the people. Nico, or Nike, is champions or rulers. Nico and Laetan, laity, are the masses of the people. Jesus says, I hate a religious hierarchy that sequesters the people. Jesus says, I hate it. If there's a church that is absolutely violating the Bible and saying, this is what you'll say, this is what you'll believe, if it's, hey, get out of that place. If the Word of God is not looked to and obeyed preeminently, listen, if somebody comes along and says, yeah, the Word of God is great, but I have the authority to supersede what the Bible says, run. Now listen, some of you are getting upset at me. Don't get upset at the messenger. Stop and evaluate what you know. This is important stuff. It's not comfortable to talk about. Back up and examine the traditions of men, which the Bible commands us to do. Who is your high priest? Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are to confess our sins to him and him alone. The Bible says there's one mediator between man and God, and that is the man Christ Jesus. That's pretty clear. If I've got to join your church and then I can be baptized only through your pastors, then you ain't going to baptize me. Because that's kind of cultic. That's kind of strange. Because now you are saying, we've got the corner market on who gets in and who doesn't get in into heaven. When Jesus Christ already taught us, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I am the way, the truth, and life, and Fred's Baptist Church, or Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, or... The last time I checked my Bible, the church which I'm a part of is a group of redeemed sinners who look to Jesus Christ as the author and the finisher of their faith. The source of Babylonianism and its powers is that it controls the masses. And its agenda is to not only control the masses. We know in the last days, in the prophetic scenario arising out of Europe, this Revelation chapters 17 and 18 talks about the mystery Babylon. Hang on to your seats now. The mystery Babylon, who will arise out of the Roman Empire, the revised Roman Empire in the last days, whose roots go all the way back to ancient Babylonia in its worship system, which happens to be personified as a woman riding the beast in the book of Revelation. And it describes clearly who the woman is and who the beast is. You don't have to worry about it. It tells you exactly who they are. And it says that she is not only a woman, but she is a worship system, that she's mysterious, that she is a harlot, and her harlotry is that she has seduced the world with her, what? With her body? No. How do you do that? If you're a city, it says with her doctrine. And it says that she sits as queen upon seven hills. Book of Revelation. Now, granted, Moscow sits on seven hills. It's true. Moscow, the city of Moscow, sits on seven hills. But Moscow's not known anywhere in the world for its doctrine. It is true. You're going to say, Jack, I did a study on this, you said, and Rio de Janeiro sits on seven hills. Ah, that's true. It does. But the world is not acquainted with Rio de Janeiro's doctrine. There's a city in Italy, that sits on seven hills. Are you sitting down right now? Listen carefully. Not only does the city sit on seven hills, there is a city within the city. And I I'll give you the books to document this. It's called Vatican City. It sits on seven hills. You say, what do you mean? I'm saying this, that it's my prayer, like it is in this church, that people of Calvary Chapel, people of First Baptist Pomona, and people of the Catholic Church read their Bibles. If they just read their Bibles, they'll be fine. Starting here, read your Bible. Study. Because my Bible tells me that Jesus Christ and his body was offered up once and for all for my sins and took them away. And that I am no longer to ever, again, offer him up as a sacrifice for my sins, seeing how I attempt to crucify the Son of God a second time. Wow. Jesus died once. His body was given once. Jesus says to me that he is able to keep me from falling and to present me before him in the presence of his Father with joy and with praise and thanksgiving. And that's my high priest. That's who you're going to want to go to. Thirdly, and we'll be done, Babylon's second coming. As we come to the conclusion of this mini-series, consider a few things here. There's a Babylonian belief system that is ancient. It's being studied today. There's a Babylonian priesthood that says that you go, listen, read the book of Hebrews, jot it down. This is a must. You won't believe me when I give it to you. Hebrews chapters 9 and chapters 10. Read it tonight. Now, it is true as believers, we ought to confess our sins one to another. Doesn't it say that in James? We should confess our sins one to another. Why? One of the great things, I don't know about you, but when you come and say, you know what, I've been really battling, I need to confess this sin, and my sin is this, you know what? I don't read my Bible enough. You know what? You know what I'm going to say to you? Thank God, brother. I'll pray for you. You pray for me because I don't read mine enough. Or someone comes and says, I've been tempted with evil thoughts. Pastor, pray for me. I tell you what, I'll pray for you. You pray for me. See, when you confess your faults one to another, it's like, all right, come on, let's link arm in arm and let's go to war over this thing, okay? Let's go for it. You know, one of Satan's tricks is to get you out on the limb out there and say, you're the only ding-dong that thinks this way. Look at you out there. You call yourself a Christian? Look at all those guys. In fact, look as they walk in. They don't even walk in a church. They just kind of, you know, they kind of just glow in. And you stumbled, and you know, you fall, you just look at you, you know, and look at that. That guy ironed a shirt before he came to church. Look at your shirt. You're a loser. See, saved people iron their shirts. Then if you ironed your shirt, then Satan says, look at that. Look at you. You ironed your shirt. You arrogant, stuck-up person. You wanted to look good, didn't you? You're carnal. And it's like, you know, you can't win. Satan will never let you win. You got to remind him that you've won in Christ. Because I tell you, he'll get you down. He'll wear you out. So we confess like that. It's wonderful. But listen, if you come and say, you know, Jack, can I call you Father? No, listen. What is the Bible? I'm going to tell you a verse. You know it, don't you? I'm going to say, my friend, listen, don't ever say that. Because the Bible says in Matthew's gospel, you are to call no one on earth Father, but your Father which is in heaven. So you can call me Jack. I did this to a guy one time. I said, you can just call me Jack. He got so hurt. He was so hurt. He goes, can I at least call you Pastor Jack? I go, well, it makes you feel better. And it makes him feel better. Even he's been here forever. And he says, hi, Pastor Jack. He just can't call me Jack. I can live with that, I guess. It makes him happy. That's fine. Here's the thing. You confess to me. As soon as you're done confessing, I'm going to pray for you. But I'm going to encourage you. You have to talk to Jesus about you. I appreciate you told me. And now we're accountable one to another. And I'm going to pray for you. And you know what? It's great that you did this. But right now, you need to talk to him because he is the one who bled for you. So you go there now, okay? Like a reflector, you just boink. Get him right up there. That's what you got to do. Because that's what the Bible teaches. There's only one who can forgive your sin, and that's God. The moment you realize that I'm not bashing denominations, and I'm not bashing Calvary Chapel, I'm not bashing the Catholic Church, what I'm trying to do is exalt the work in the person of Jesus Christ. If you go to him, you will be so freed and so liberated, you'll think you were born again. Regarding the 1 Peter 5:13 verse I read to you earlier, that Peter says to the church that is at Babylon, it's interesting, just to help some of you along here in this, Carl Keating, and we'll end with this. Carl Keating is a Catholic theologian and apologist, and this is what Carl Keating says, and I quote, he says, in 1 Peter 5:13, this passage proves that Peter wrote the epistle from Rome because of his reference to the city as being called Babylon, by which Rome has often been addressed, close quote. That's a Catholic theologian, just so that you'll understand that. And as we wrap this up concerning Babylonianism and how it's infiltrated the churches in the world today. There is a chief. There is a chief worship icon that prevails over them all in Babylonianism. And I'll read this to you. Jeremiah 7:17, beginning there. Jeremiah 7:17. But do you not see what you do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood and fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead dough to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven, and they pour out drink offerings to other gods. Jeremiah chapter 7 is condemning the practice of Babylonianism. Jeremiah 44:15, beginning there. Then all the men who knew that their wives were burning incense to other gods, along with all the women who were present, a large assembly, and all the people living in Lower and Upper Egypt said to Jeremiah, listen, this is what they said to the prophet of God. We will not listen to the message you have spoken to us. I feel like that every Sunday. In the name of the Lord, we will certainly do everything we said we would do. We will burn incense to the Queen of Heaven. We will pour out drink offerings to her, just as we and our fathers, our kings, and our officials did in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Verse 19, when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, did not our husbands know that we were making cakes like unto her image and pouring out drink offerings to her? Are you ready for this? The Queen of Heaven is found 5,000 years ago in ancient Babylonianism. Now, to show you how, and we'll end with this, just to hopefully to stimulate your interest, to show you how cunning the enemy can be. If I were to show you a statue of what is known as the Madonna, what is she holding? Come on, somebody. A baby, huh? That's fine. I'm assuming this is Mother Mary and baby Jesus. No problem. Did you know the Madonna carrying a child with a halo dates back, and there are carvings and there's art long before Jesus was ever born, of the Queen of Heaven who had a baby, who sent that baby to earth, and the worship of that child is ancient Babylonianism. And in the doctrine of that child, it is mentioned, this is long before Jesus was born into the world, that practice, that worship system taught that you were to go to the Queen of Heaven through this son and vice versa if need be. That, to me, is amazing, because Mary, her last words on earth, her last words recorded in the Bible are, whatever my son says, do it. She was a wonderful woman, an awesome woman of God, obviously a select chosen vessel of God. But Mary did not die on the cross like they have depicted in Rome. And Mary did not ascend into heaven. And the doctrine of co-redemptress, where Jesus and Mary pays for your sins, is rooted in ancient Babylonianism. And you say, Jack, you're going against a bazillion years of tradition and my family. I understand that. I guess I'm giving you information. I didn't write the book, and I'm not the researcher. But listen, are we married? And here's the tough thing. Are we married to a human system or to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we engaged to the system? Are we engaged to Christ? And there's only one way you're going to know Christ, and that is knowing his word that he gave us. And I know this is heavy stuff, I'd like to commend to you Revelation chapters 17 and 18 in your nighttime, bedtime reading tonight. Heavy stuff. Living in the days of deception. We could have gone on for days regarding acts of salvation and repentance and acts of works and things like this, but we can't. I will say that if you're hearing the voice of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, when Jesus simply says, I love you, I died for you, I've given all for you, and I want to come and live inside of you. That's not a system, my friend. That's not a movement. It's a personal relationship with God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Roman Road to Babylon. It's part of a mini-series taken from the opening verses of 1 John chapter 4. We call it Living in the Days of Deception. Living in the Days, D-A-Z-E, of Deception. On our next broadcast, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse journey through this New Testament letter, and that's coming up on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, here on Real Radio, we have a feature called Ask Pastor Jack, one of my favorite parts of the program. Pastor Jack answers questions sent in by you, Real Radio listeners. Pastor Jack, this one comes from listener John. John says, what is required for repentance to be genuine? After all, what about Judas? Wasn't he repentant?
Judas actually was not repentant. The word there in the New Testament is Judas had remorse.
Right.
A big difference. The word repentance is based upon metanoia. It means to change the mind.
Okay.
To rethink or to think again. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, for example, that there is a sorrow that is of the world
right.
that leads to death. And I believe Paul to the Corinthian church is actually referencing Judas versus a sorrow that leads to life. One is repentance, where you have a change of mind.
Interesting.
Judas never had a change of mind.
Right.
Judas was really bummed he got caught.
Yeah.
It didn't work out the way that he had planned. A lot of people feel like that today. A lot of people think like that today. But when you have a biblical repentance, that is what God is expecting and desiring from us. It is number one, what David confessed in Psalm 51. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. It's even though it affects other people, it's the realization I've sinned against my holy God.
Right. Right.
And then understanding that, the ramifications, it's
yeah.
affected many people.
Yeah.
The desire to make restitution, the desire to not do that again, the desire to please God. Look, the Bible tells us in Proverbs, it's the fear of God that's the beginning of wisdom. One of those things is that wisdom, the fear of God, causes us to walk closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do wander in thought or deed, we repent of it quickly. What is it? We have our mind changed about it. God,
yeah.
this was against you. It was not right. I've sinned against you.
Against you.
And you come back in alignment with God. Look, this could happen to any of us, and I believe it does. 5 times, 50 times, 500 times a day.
A day, yeah.
That is personal revival. None
right.
of us is sinless. But when we walk with God in that state of revival, simply means this. Lord, I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry. I shouldn't have had that selfish thought.
Right.
No one else may know that, but God knows that.
Mm-hmm.
God, I don't want to be like that. That's not like Jesus. I want to be like you today, God. So please forgive me. 1 John 1:9 tells us that he's faithful to forgive us. We've
yeah.
confessed it to him. Why? Because we've repented of it. We don't want it. Judas, again, he was remorseful. That led to death. Repentance leads to life. It's required, by the way. It's the first word of the gospel. People don't realize that. The gospel is not Jesus died on the cross for you. The gospel is not God loves you. The gospel is repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Change your mind.
Got it.
And you shall be saved.
Thanks, Pastor Jack. If you've got a question for Pastor Jack, simply send your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.